It's been a great night. Thank you so much for all the interesting conversations you've started. We may finish some of those here in the last hour, open lines on Coast to Coast. So if you are responsible for an ongoing thread, you know, stick around. You might be surprised where it ends up. First hour started with a guy talking about how he jumped off his garage for years and can still avoid landing hard. He's got X-Men mutant powers, and he was talking about how that would be revealed coming up more in the beginning of the new year. Kind of reminds me, at the end of the year, I will be doing part of, and George Norrie will be doing the other half of the recap show from last year, as we both recap your predictions from last year and take your predictions for the coming year. What did and what did not come true of your predictions on Coast to Coast? If you go to coasttocoastam.com, I mentioned that story about the light coming in, the northern lights, and what appears to be an alien face popping up in the northern lights. Now I'd like to reconsider that. Maybe it's Abin Sur or one of the other of the Green Lantern Corps. We were just talking about Green Lantern a little bit. And now you think about it, doesn't have to be an alien. It could just be somebody trying to break through in the green light. Go take a look at that. It's up at coasttocoastam.com, along with that World War II cipher that they're trying to figure out, recently discovered, and link up to my book, which is coming out in late April. You can pre-order a copy of it. Can't give it for Christmas, but you can order it and pay for it before Christmas. And that way you can tell somebody you love that it's on their way. It's on the way to them coming up in 2013. You can find that under our Twitter feed, and make sure you keep in touch between now and this next appearance we'll have coming up next month at Twitter. Love to keep in touch and do it all the time. At Deacon Punnett, DEACONPUNNETT. Back to your open line calls coming up next. And we'll get the last hour in. It'll be fun and fast on Coast to Coast. In for George Norrie, this is Ian Punnett. Okay, so I just love this. Thank you for the update. Couple of different thoughts. Somebody said that if we were going to combine the Beatles and the Who, because the Beatles have a bassist and a drummer, and the Who don't now, sadly. What would you call them? Oh wait, I got to pull this up. Make sure I get it right. Would you call them Beatles Who? Thanks, Pete. And let's go to Matthew in Iron River, Michigan, on Coast to Coast for open lines. And you're on a wild card line. Go ahead, Matthew.
Hey, how's
Hey.
it going?
Good. You?
Can you hear me?
Sure can.
All right. I just wanted to tell you a little bit about the light that's up here. You were talking about the northern lights a little
Oh, yeah.
bit.
Are you seeing some?
Well, it's not exactly the northern lights. It is a light, and nobody really knows what it is, but it just keeps showing up at the end of this road, kind of like in the middle of nowhere. I've
How
been
long has
down
this
there
been
several
going
times,
on?
and it showed up. But
How long has this been going on?
I don't really know what's going on. I seen a lady out there taking pictures. She has some different kind of equipment out there. I didn't really,
What's
ask her
the
too
name of
much. She
the
came pretty
road?
professional.
What's
But
the name of the road?
what's the name of the road? Morrison Creek Road?
And is that
Robinson
in
Creek Road. Robinson
Robinson
Creek
Creek Road?
Road off of in Paulding, Michigan.
In Paulding?
It's not far from where I live.
Okay, that's cool. And so it's
And
just a light that appears at the end of the road, and nobody seems to know. Is it the Paulding, the
it's
mysterious Paulding light?
yeah that's yeah it's got a sign that'll tell you if it shows up, and it's a bright light, almost like headlights. And I've
I'm
walked
looking
all
at
the
a
way down to
website
the end
for
of the trail and haven't seen the light, but when I looked behind me, the light was behind me. It was nowhere to be found.
I'm
In front of
looking.
me, where I walked down, where you can see
Right.
it, and then you turn around and it's behind you, and you've never seen it in front of you.
I'm at a website for it.
But
They're
the
saying
thing
it's
that most
located
people don't
in.
know about the light is that there's another town that's near it, off of a dirt road that you would never suspect anything to be down. And it's
That's called
an old town.
Waters Meet. Waters Meet Michigan?
No, this town isn't going to be on the map. It's called the town of Interior. And it's not far from it. And it seems like this town was only around for maybe 30 years. And then it was just closed up immediately. And a lot of the people who even live around the Paulding area, if you ask them what's going on in the town of Interior, they're very quiet about it, like they're afraid of something.
Well,
I don't know if there's any connection between the light and the town of Interior. The only remnants of the town of Interior is a wooden sign that says, here's the cemetery.
Well, I'm at a website, and thank you, Matt. This is very interesting. I'm at a website called backwoodswisconsin.com. It says at one point Ripley's, believe it or not, offered $100,000 to the person or persons who could solve the bizarre light phenomenon in Paulding, Michigan. Nearly every clear evening, strange circular spheres of light dance on the horizon of the tiny community and at one point seemed to follow the pathway of electrical lines. The lights have been captured on film. That's not surprising. Experts from Ripley's have been to the location. At the location of the Paulding lights, the Michigan Forest Service has put up signs which indicate the best area from which the lights can be seen. So far, no logical conclusions have been reached. They've been witnessed as red, white, and green lights. They are not to be confused with the northern lights. This is a phenomenon unique to Paulding, Michigan. I'm just reading right from the site. Very interesting. Various legends have developed concerning that. One myth explains the lights as the ghost of a railroad brakeman. You know what? Actually, that, I wonder if that came up when we were talking about ghost trains a couple years ago. While others say it is the ghost of an Indian dancing on the power lines. Some locals attest to the fact that the lights start over Lake Superior and make their way inland. The public is welcome to view the strange lights. Google that. You'll find all sorts of different places. That explains the mystery, and then there's a, you know, all the different markings and all the places that they encourage you to stand there and watch for the lights. Thanks. Appreciate the heads up. Alan's in Ogden, Utah, on Coast to Coast. Alan?
Hello, Ian. Great to speak with you. I've been a fan for many years, and it's wonderful to hear you on the air a little more.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Nice to be back on. It's kind of a little surprise for the holiday weekend. Where do you want to take us?
I call up about a couple of related things. First of all, you were talking about, you know, finding things you get a bargain on by accident or whatever, and they come out to be quite valuable. I was in a thrift shop a number of years ago and noticed a little bronze or gilded bronze Buddha that's about 5 or 6 inches high, a little bit beat up, you know, looked old, and I actually bought that for $10. And I happened to get tickets to the Antiques Roadshow several years later, and so I took it down there, and it turned out to be from the 16 to 1700s and worth over $1,000.
How cool is that? Did you sell it or keep it?
Oh, no, I'm keeping it, yeah.
I love that. That's really cool.
And then the related thing to that, I've been a paranormal researcher for a long time. I've spoken at UFO conferences with George Knapp and Linda Moulton Howe and been interviewed by Whitley Strieber. But one of the things that I've talked about is that you can actually sense or even calibrate the kind of spiritual level of, you know, antiques and things. I know people are sometimes concerned, and I've heard stories about people getting some old object and it seems to be haunted and it causes lots of problems for them. Have you heard
that too? Yep.
Except by the same token, you can also get objects like this Buddha, which has a very powerful positive feeling to it, that I think are beneficial, you know, to have. And there is a method you can use to actually figure that out, a couple of different ways.
How do you do that?
The simplest way is just, you know, if you're at all sensitive or intuitive, you know, you can sometimes just handle something and get a kind of a, to use the old 60s chirps, kind of a vibe from it, an energy, and just feel that. And that works pretty well. I picked up an old deck of tarot cards that had been designed by Aleister Crowley once and didn't want to keep that around at all. That was a very negative vibe. But a method which works more specifically was actually taught by Dr. David R. Hawkins, who passed, sadly, on September 19th of this year. He was a psychiatrist and a medical doctor as well as a PhD. And he used a calibration method by which you could measure the spirituality of of many things, including people, but also objects. And on a scale from 1 to 1,000, and 1,000 would be Christ consciousness, and of course, anything toward the low end, actually below 200, would be considered to be more or extremely, even at the bottom end, to lack integrity or to be something negative.
I wonder how that informs us on this crazy shopping weekend.
Well, if we're not driving around, there are definitely some crazy drivers to watch out for. They may have been possessed.
That's true. From the things that they were standing in line to buy at those ridiculous prices. Thank you, Alan. Appreciate that. Very interesting. Love that story. Marcus is in Washington on Coast to Coast. Marcus?
How's it going, Ian?
Good. Good. So where do you want to take us?
Well, I kind of wanted to bring up the subject of world overpopulation. I just want to get your thoughts on it and throw out a few pointers that there's 7 billion people in the world, and I heard somewhere that that there is more people alive today than have ever lived.
Prior to this.
I don't know if that's true or not, but there certainly is a lot of people, and I just want to know your ideas on the when do you think the limit of the population is,
right?
And when would that become an issue?
Yeah, it's a really good question. Yeah, I do think about that from time to time, and I mean, obviously, we're going in some. I mean, we've sort of the idea to have kind of negative population growth or to be able to have fewer people on the planet, make it more sustainable. Some of that may be that which the planet itself has a vote over and we won't. Right. I mean, that's the belief that somehow in a belief in almost a sentient world that the planet will decide up too many people and that there's a natural tipping point that would occur from diseases or whatever that has happened in the past. I'm not sure about that, but it's an interesting theory.
Let's just hope that those people that put those Georgia Guidestones, they're not running the show, because that'd be terrible.
The Georgia Guidestones are such a cool story, and I really do look forward to getting definitively who was the he or the they, and there's two competing theories on that, who put those up, and whether it was a hoax or whether it's something real, but... it is a great site. If you don't know it, it's as cool as the Paulding Lights. Hector is in Boise, Idaho, west of the Rockies on Coast to Coast. Hector?
Hey, how you doing, Mr. Ian Bunner? How you doing, sir?
Good. Glad to have you. Go ahead.
You've been talking a lot about this with God and you know, the Lord and Satan. I have a quick story for you. My wife's uncle is a Pentecostal preacher. And he's telling us at a family gathering one time that one night he was laying down in bed, and at the door he could see this black figure with red eyes staring at him, and down the hall you can see his daughter's room, and it looked like he was starting to walk towards the room, and he kind of shot up out of bed. He didn't know if somebody was in his house or what was going on. And all of a sudden, in the corner of his left eye, he saw this huge white glow. He turned over, and he said it was a huge angel just dressed in Roman attire, Roman, you know, shield and all that, with a huge flaming sword. And wings just went outside the house. They said that's the best he could describe it. And he had this overwhelming, you know, comfort of, you know, everything's okay. I'll take care of it. And everything just disappeared. And so I just thought I'd throw that in there. You're talking about this, you know, God.
Yeah. No, I love that.
And how everything's good is God and everything bad is Satan. Not necessarily.
Not necessarily. But, and that's it. And you certainly lived that. Thank you. I appreciate that story. Let's grab a couple other people before we get in the bottom of the hour on Coast to Coast, because there's so many people who've been waiting for so long. So this comes, is it Mylan? From Queens, is that right?
Good morning. Yes, my name is Millen from
Millen.
New York. First time
Glad to have you. Glad to have you. Go ahead.
Okay. Earlier, one of the guys was talking about the powers he had.
Right.
And we all have superpowers, but they haven't awakened them yet. And we, you know, like a lot of people are waking up these days. And I haven't been teaching people yoga, meditation. And in New York, a lot of people are realizing everything. You know, a lot of people, I taught them in 2008 to eat organic food. People didn't know even what the organic food was. They only used to sell it in a whole food market, and now they sell it at the every corner store. And, you know, these powers that we have, it's, you know, the time is not here yet, but it'll take time in the future. People will realize and people are waking up.
Well, tell me what I mean, I'm trying to put these two thoughts together. So do you have superpower yourself?
Well, we all have a superpower.
No. I heard you say that. But do you have one yourself?
No, I don't.
Then how can we all have it if you don't have it?
Yeah, when I was like, you know, I started meditating when I was 6 years old. And, you know, in where I came from in India, meditation is like a deep prayer. And in yoga, when we say Om, that's the supreme God of in the Hindu religion. So, you know. And here in America, like, a lot of things they don't want you to know about, you know. So, when I teach yoga people, a lot of people, they don't know anything. The instructors, they don't even tell them anything that, you know, that yoga means you're connecting your spirit with God. So, exercise you're doing, you're balancing your body with the nature. Then some exercise you're doing, you're praying all the planets. All the planets are God. It's not a supreme God. They don't, like, you know, it's they don't have a word for translation here. We call Dave. Dave, you know, and above Dave, there's a supreme God called Siv. That's the Om. He
right.
takes a form as a Siv, Siva, and he made us like him. So at the
where does Kali fall in that for you?
Excuse me?
Where does Kali fall in that for you?
Khalifa?
No, the Hindu goddess of the evil Hindu goddess, Kali?
Oh, Kali.
Kali, okay.
Yeah. Well, she took Kali form to kill all the demons on the earth.
So do you incorporate a belief in Kali?
Yes, I believe in God takes a form for reasons. All the forms that took... for the reasons, like when I go to my temple, we have 10 pictures of God that took birth on earth already. The 8th picture was Krishna. After Krishna, we have a 9th picture was Buddha. But the Chinese people, they cannot pronounce it. They started calling Buddha. So they pronounce it differently. Then the 10th picture is a Kalki birth. That
right.
didn't happen yet. That's going to happen in after 2012.
What's going to happen? Wait. We only have just 30 seconds left. What's going to happen after 2012?
That's his next birth, the last birth.
It's coming after 2012.
Yes, that's going to happen after 2012, yeah. And he's on the horse with the sword. And
cool.
And I told my guru, he has a lot of spiritual healing powers. He has a third eye. And all these things, everything around the world, everything is going on. Like people see ghosts, like people see aliens, all these things going on. You have to have a third eye. To get the third eye, you have to meditate to God, Steve. He has a third eye. He's the one who gives it to you. And
well, that's all the time we have, but that was a lot. That's a lot to digest. I love that the 10th one is coming then, according to that tradition. Another thing to be thinking about for 2013. Last half hour, open lines next on Coast to Coast. In for George Norrie, this is Ian Punnett. All right, so yeah, lots of people, interesting comments, questions all night long on Coast to Coast, open lines. Been in for George Norrie tonight, and I've been tweeting back and forth with some folks, and thank you all for your continued comments. At Deacon Punnett is the Twitter feed. But I just sent out a question. And I'm looking forward to the answers. Maybe I can get them before the end of this half hour. Okay, but here's my question. I'm just throwing this out. If anybody knows the answer to this question, based on some previous callers. Do shadow people elect shadow politicians to serve in the shadow government? That's what I want to know. If you know, let me know. We'll get to your calls. Where do you want to take the show? Coming up next on Coast to Coast, this is Ian Ponet. Well, let's go to Perry in Lompoc, California, wildcard line on Coast to Coast. Perry?
Hey, Ian, what a pleasant post-Thanksgiving surprise.
Oh, thank you.
Having you on the air tonight. I really miss you on Saturday nights.
Well, I think John Wells is doing a great job. I appreciate
it. He is. He has really great topics
super.
As well. But he's no Ian.
Yeah.
But what I wanted to talk about is why I believe Mitt Romney lost the election.
Okay. There's lots of different opinions on that.
Well, first of all, he's uber rich. Secondly, the chiding that both Romney and Ryan did against President Obama backfired on them. I think the American people saw him as a bully. And the third point.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't know that it's true. I mean, I think Ryan was like a non-factor. I thought he was. I was surprised. I was really expecting him to be much more of a player than
he
was.
Yeah, he was really disappointing, and he looked like Eddie Munster. But you know,
he doesn't look like Eddie Munster. It was funny. I mean, he's got this huge online following of people who think he's a lot of women really especially with his shirt off. He's pretty. PX90, you got to go with that.
I can't see that, to put my place. I know, he just, to me, I mean, he was just like a punk. I don't know. But anyway, the third one was, like I was saying, Romney chided Obama, about what he failed to do. He never had a plan saying how he's going to fix it. It became this vague, just soundbite, basically, and...
Well, I do think they missed an opportunity to talk more about the specifics of how they would fix that. I think a lot of the most conservative commentators would agree with that point, that was a chance that they had to really lay out a vision and not just say things which everybody would agree with, but to really show how it would work. And I know that there was probably more details on his website than I ever got through all of them. But I think there were plenty of opportunities where that could have been done. I'll tell you what I think was the biggest factor. And I'm probably going on away on a limb here, but I was very friendly with people who were Republicans, but not Romney people during the, during the whole primaries, and they hated him. And I found it interesting that of all of the candidates that were running for the office, frequently it was Mitt Romney that got the most vituperative responses from other conservatives or Republicans. And I'm friendly with people who were Gingrich people, who were Pawlenty people, obviously being here in Minnesota, and they were just the one thing they could all agree on was how much they hated Mitt Romney. And the way they talked about him, always in this way of, God, who could accept this guy? He's such a carbon copy of Obama and da-da-da-da-da. And then he's the nominee, and then they say, oh, now you got to vote for him. And what's interesting about this, I think that there may be a piece of that at work, that somehow, this also happened with McCain, that it was like, oh, he's not a real conservative. He's not our guy. We don't want him. Okay, we're stuck with him. So we don't like him, but you should vote for him. And I think it's that paradigm that hurt in the long run, that there's no authentic enthusiasm, or there wasn't enough of. And even though we got big crowds, and even though Paul Ryan helped a lot, I think, with that. And I'm not commenting all on policy when I just say that I experienced that twice with the last two cycles. We were saying, oh, we don't like this guy, but you should vote for him. And I think that's the difference with, for what, like him or not, that's what a lot of Democrats really love Obama. And the Democrats love him, and they want you to love him too. And there's a certain, And then again, it comes down to the Electoral College. And that same map has not changed much. You go back, look at the Electoral College map of the last, say, six elections. it's pretty steady. There's those swing states that kind of move back and forth, but the rest of the country is pretty polarized and remains that way. Nick is east of the Rockies in New York on Coast to Coast. Nick?
Yes, Ian. It's a pleasure talking to you.
And to you.
I'm my 41 years that I flew with Eastern Airlines, several occurrences stayed in my memory. Not only what was mentioned last night about Atlantis, but also with UFO experiences. To get back to last night's program, it was mentioned something to the effect that it was in the Gulf of Mexico that some big chunks of outer space asteroids destroyed or hit the ocean near the Gulf. But I flew on Eastern Airlines my last 41 years, the last of my years on a military operation, and the run that I was on several times between Norfolk and Guantanamo Bay, parallel to Palm Beach, there is a whole city underwater with roads and buildings and everything that can be seen distinctly from at our height of altitude at 31,000 feet that we were flying at. It wasn't something that you would see only once, like a vision. If it was a crystal clear day at the time of the afternoon that we were flying down and back, we'd fly down and back the same day, bringing troops to Guantanamo. It would be around about 11 o'clock in the morning, and the sun would be shining and reflecting on the water. But in the afternoons, coming back around 3 o'clock or so, the sun was further to the west, and you could distinctly see down clear in the water full buildings, and it looked like maybe 500 to 1,000 feet underwater. I doubt if it's 1,000 feet because it was pretty clear. I would say approximately 300 or 500 miles off the coast. When if you draw a direct line between Norfolk and Guantanamo and draw a line straight east from Palm Beach, you'll find, if anybody's flying there at pretty high altitude, you can see everything down below.
I hope there's some private pilots who are hearing that and thinking, this is what I'm going to do on my summer vacation coming up, or whatever. That's cool.
It'll take more than a private pilot. I guess you'd have to go up a little higher than that, like an airline. Right. We were flying on 727s at the time. Sure. Coming back from Norfolk, Virginia, New Orleans, I'm sorry. Coming back from New Orleans, back in the 70s, right alongside of us, I was flying on a 1011, at 610 miles an hour, knots, a UFO passed us like we were standing still, and it was around the St. Louis area, and made a sharp 90-degree turn straight up and disappeared in the distance, and then came back and did a couple of loops. It was not possible to be human being on that airplane.
No, I totally believe you. In fact, I've said this many times, and thank you for your contribution, Nick. I'm going to get a couple other people before the top of the hour, but pilots have the best stories, and sometimes it takes a while to get a pilot to tell you stuff like that if they're currently serving. But if they're retired like you, they're more than happy to pass along the things they experience like that. So thanks. Tony's in Foster City, California, on Coast to Coast on a Wild Card line. Thanks for hanging on as long as you did, Tony.
Hey, no problem. Thanks for taking my call, Ian.
Yeah, trying to get everybody in. So where do you want to go?
Well, I want to talk a little bit about tinnitus. It's something I know you've been coping with, and that's the best thing I can say about it is that you kind of cope with it, because I'm coping with it myself.
Sorry to hear that.
But, you know, before I developed my case of tinnitus, I developed another kind of strange case. I'm a light sleeper, so I use a fan in my bedroom to kind of put the white noise out there to, you know, so that dogs sure. barking or cars' horns going off don't wake me up in the middle of the night. And, you know, shortly before I developed my case of tinnitus, I started hearing music at night. I would lay in bed and kind of starting to go to sleep. And the strangest thing was I would start to hear music in my head. And I would get startled a little bit, and I think, well, it's my neighbor. I live in an apartment. I live in an right. urban area. Foster City is just a little bit south of San Francisco. So right. it's an urban environment. You get a lot of extraneous noises, and that's kind of why I use a fan to sort of kind of sure. level everything that. Out so I can get to sleep. And, you know, I'd hear this music in my head, and I would think, oh, it's my neighbors. They're listening to the radio, or they got their TV turned up too loud. And so I'd get up, and I'd turn my fan off, and it would be dead silent. And I'm like, wow, there's no music going on in my head. So... you know, I'd turn the fan back on, I'd try to go back to sleep, and the music would start. And it'd be kind of weird music. It's something you can't quite hear. It's as if you're listening through it through a wall, kind of like a muffled radio station. And, you know, so this was going on for about a year. And I would tell people about it, and I would think it was just, you know, I don't know how to explain it, but I started doing a little, you know, looking around on Google and see if anybody else had had this experience of just hearing, right. For lack of a better word, a radio station.
Right.
And there were a few people out there who had similar experiences. And so I didn't feel quite like I was going crazy because I kind of thought I was kind of losing.
Right. No, I get that. Yeah.
And then shortly after that, I developed this case of tinnitus. And it's something I cope with, you know, it's what? Not terrible. And I don't know how bad your case is, but
bad.
It's there, you know, it's always there. It's
right.
if I stop and I want to concentrate about it, it's there and I can't really do anything about it. But for the most part, it's a fairly minor case, I would say, and I can go on with my life. But, what I heard last night, and this is kind of weird because a caller or two before was talking about, George Norrie's show, with this guy Melchizedek, which is kind of a hard name.
Right.
No.
Right.
But he actually was talking about the Schumann resonance. This is something I'd heard before, and I was getting kind of interested in it because when I hear interesting things, I want to research it and learn more about it. And the Schumann resonance is, as best I can understand, is the Earth kind of emits some sort of harmonic through the magnetic field. And it had always been steady, and we had calibrated some certain instruments, you know, to this thing. And then suddenly it started to change. It started to increase. I don't know, it went from 7-something to 9-something.
Right.
I can't remember exactly what the numbers were. But, and then, you know, maybe conspiracy theory, the government kind of stopped talking about the increase of this resonance of the Earth because it was always supposed to be very steady. But he mentioned that, and this is what piqued my interest, and this is why I'm calling tonight, is he said that a lot of people are developing tinnitus because of the magnetic field, and there's something going on, you know, the weakening of our magnetic field, and this is what's causing this? Because, you're playing The Who, which is really odd because, you know, Pete Townsend suffers from tinnitus.
Right, tinnitus,
rockstar.
Too. In a bad way.
I wanted to get your feedback on, you know, what you're dealing with, what I'm dealing with, and
I appreciate that. I'm looking at the top of the hour here, and I'm going to try and get into some other people, but I will look at a possibility of doing a show on that in the future. I had not heard that it was a decay in the electromagnetic field that might be causing that, so I'll have to leave that here and look into it a little bit, and let me try to get on some people who've been also waiting for a while. So thank you. And Patrick, you're on a truck where in Texas?
Yes, sir.
All right. So let's try and keep it quick so we can get a couple other people before the top. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. I wanted to tell you about a story, an incident that happened to me. Or maybe one of your listeners might have had the same incident.
I cannot hear you well.
Can you hear me now?
A little bit better, but this may not go very well because I'm getting a lot of interference on my end. But go ahead.
Okay. One night, I was at home, and me and my wife had laid down for bed. And that same night, I had a, I believe what I call a demon, that came in the room with me. And she crawled in. And she crawled up, and when she came in the room, I was froze. I could not move. And she crawled up on the bed, and when she sat up, I saw her face. And she had arms of a lotus, like a grasshopper. And when she climbed up on top of me, she attempted to have sex with me.
That's called the succubus. That the demon has a name, or at least according to tradition. So yes, so there's the incubus and the succubus, okay. Male and female. So when you get a chance, I mean, attempted to, even with your wife there, come on, how bold is that? Google that, find out more about it. S-U-C-C-U-B-U-S, or the succubi, I guess, would be in the plural. But there's plenty of that online, and it's been a conversation we've had a couple of times here on Coast to Coast. Let me grab somebody else who's been waiting for a half hour to jump on, Logan. And that may be all that we have time for, so my apologies to everybody else who was waiting. Logan?
Hey, Ian, hey, love when you come on the weekends and stuff. I had a prenatal memory or vision, I guess, I wanted to share.
You did?
It related like, back to that woman. I was having this vision once where I was inside what seemed to be like a torsion energy field vortex type thing. It was in like a room, but it was curved into the center. In the center, it had a Shiva type entity being. And I was, my perspective was like I was moving around this field around it like a circle, like a donut shape. I was moving around looking towards the center of it, but I wasn't controlling it and I didn't have a body at the time. And then at some point, I was revolving around into like she. The room came out of her and back into her, and at some point I went into that room, and it all of a sudden changed to me going through the birth canal and then coming out of it, and then I was like, this is too much, I can't see this, and it was I was seeing myself come out of exiting the womb basically, and then immediately after that it was I saw another being or entity that was giving birth essentially to itself and then warping back into itself, and it kept doing that like a loop. As fast as you can think about it.
Well, that'll get your attention, won't it? Interesting. Well, thank you. Let's see if I get one more caller in from Seattle. And thank you, Dustin. Do we have time for you? Quick comment?
I'll be real quick for you, Ian. How you doing?
Good. Got 30 seconds. Go ahead.
Well, I just wanted to get your input then on the Bermuda Triangle. You know, I'm not too much into the sea stuff, but the aircraft flying through there, how they talk about going through warp speed in this little tunnel of cloud. You know, I'm just wondering how that's possible, if you have any insight on that.
Boy, you know, and I would we have any time, but not enough to get that in, that answer of any significance. But just goes to show you, too, that there's so many great topics out there, so many wonderful nights coming up on Coast to Coast. So, Dustin, I'll pass along the producers to see whether or not there can't be a night where we could revisit that coming up at some point in the future. And thank you to all the pilots, too, all the folks who have expertise on that chime in. It was really a pleasure to spend this day with you after Thanksgiving. I hope it's a great holiday weekend for you. And look forward to seeing you again coming up in December on Coast to Coast. In the meantime, let's stay in touch. Deus te amat, and I do too.